Now, let's start with a look at the mining sector. The Australian economy is being supported during COVID-19 by a steady stream of iron ore and coal exports, but parts of the mining industry here have been rocked.
Yeah, so for one thing, workers who fly in and fly out are told they can't return home. We know of instances where families decided in just 12 hours to move to be with their FIFO worker and not be separated. Companies including Newmont Australia, Glencore and Rio Tinto have taken steps to relocate FIFO workers to the same state as their mine site during the pandemic. But it's mining explorations and the services sector which have been hardest hit. And the CEO of the Association for Mining and Exploration Companies, Warren Pearce, says it's a hard time to be in these businesses.
Well, unfortunately, what we're seeing is companies having to make decisions about postponing or deferring exploration programs or making decisions not to go ahead with them. But it's a bit more serious than that, unfortunately. The reality is we've still got considerable overheads in terms of fees and charges, our staff, and that means that organisations looking at potentially not being able to do work for 6 or 12 months. So in some cases, they're putting staff off or standing them down, asking them to accept shares instead of pay. It's really quite grim at the moment.
On a more positive note, we are very pleased to say that there's been some good rainfall recently. So farmers are now heading into town and they're picking up things like fertilisers and diesel and other chemicals.
Yeah, so it's created a run on fertilisers and on fuel and chemicals, but the demand is outstripping supply. And Nutrien Ag Solutions Managing Director Rob Clayton had this point.
We've seen demand right across the country given rains on the East Coast, and we haven't really seen that sort of demand since 2016. We've also seen a big shift in the dollar, and I guess that is linked to the coronavirus. So, you know, dollars come from 70 cents down to 58 cents at one point, which has driven fertiliser prices, you know, from somewhere in the low 500s up to the north of $700 where we sit today.
There were great fears that farmers wouldn't have enough staff to harvest fruit and vegetables, and the government this week responded to that with an extension on the backpacker visas.
Yeah, so working holiday makers can extend their stay with the same employer for longer than 6 months, and backpackers who come to the end of their work placement and cannot return home will be given assistance to move to a new placement if they agree to meet the agricultural labour demand. And any worker who moves to that new region must also self-isolate 14 days beforehand. It's a big ask, but it has to be done. And Agriculture Minister David Littleproud says the changes will ensure farmers have enough access to workers.
We are giving them the opportunity to stay in this country and be part of not only getting us through the COVID-19, but also recovering.
Now, we've heard that there are a lot of backpackers who want to stay. They've chatted with their families and the families support them kind of continuing their trip and working on farms in Australia, even if some also want to get home. What have our reporters been hearing?
Well, just out of Townsville, some French backpackers have returned to work on a farm after losing their jobs in Melbourne. They were in hospitality in pubs and hostels, of course, which closed. Now they're completing 2 weeks of quarantine, soaking up the sun before starting to pick pineapples, pumpkins and melons. And French backpacker Anthony Matarel says he's grateful to have somewhere safe to work for a year.
The situation in France is worse than Australia, so definitely gonna stay here, extend our visa and make 2 years straight.
Of course, it's not the case everywhere. We've also found backpackers who will have to head home because it's hard still to get work. Why is that?
Well, it has something to do with those images of backpackers partying at Bondi in the hostels and on the beach. And orchards are very wary of anyone who's come straight out of Sydney. So that's what French backpacker Marine Chotard has found.
Some farmers say, yeah, if you were in Sydney, or I can't take you, or they just keep the people that they had before. But it's normal because we move a lot and maybe I can have the coronavirus and I don't know it. So I understand if like farmers don't want to take us back or other people, because we can have the virus maybe. So it's very hard now to find something in farm, because I will touch some fruit or vegetable and
yeah,
I
it's too dangerous for the other people.
I understand.
And of course, we've also heard that one of the big issues for backpackers, even if they're able to pick on farms and the farmers want them, is going to also be where to stay as caravans and campgrounds shut. Now, can you remember, oh, this is so sad, the last restaurant meal you had? I can't. Like, I literally can't. It's been weeks, right? None of us have been dining out. So that also means that those companies that used to supply very expensive top cuts of meat to restaurants have now lost huge market.
Yeah, well, it is fascinating. There's now a surplus of really expensive cuts of meat. And we had mince last night again. There's 50 ways with mince. Meatballs, burgers, bolognese, Mexican. It's beautiful and versatile. But for meat processors like Tasmanian Greenhams, they've had to find new markets for their meat, both overseas and here. Managing Director of Greenhams, Peter Greenham, has this insight.
We've been selling a higher-end product, say, like a marble-scored high-grade product, and the retailers now really are not thinking about trying to offer a premium or a high grade product. They just want to sell meat. So a lot of that premium end where we were getting a premium for, say, a marble score 4 or 3 product, those guys now are just paying us the normal price for it.
And of course, the same goes for avocados. No longer are we heading out for smashed avocado on sourdough for our exotic brunch, but the avocado industry wants us to play at being cafes at home.
The avocado market has crashed. It's just as Queensland was hitting peak harvest season. Wide Bay avocado farmer Lachlan Donovan from Queensland says the lower grade fruit just won't find a market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, little cafes, avocado on toast, you know, all the restaurants that we've spent all that money promoting, that stuff has really died away. We're probably fairly lucky we've got reasonable orders into the chain market through Evolution. There'll probably be a reasonable amount of fruit that'll get dumped or.
Now, the closure of pubs and cocktail bars is hurting fruit growers, not just avocados, also limes.
Yeah, so citrus growers, grow the fruit that makes your mojitos and margaritas, and Corona beers are no longer being sold with wedges of lime or lemon in them. Growers on the Atherton Tablelands in North Queensland have expanded their lime plantings recently, but what they're finding now is that the price for limes has plummeted. For citrus grower Anthony Carusi, he says lime's not even worth the box that they're packed in. So he's asked his packers to stop picking the fruit.
Goodness me, that just seems ridiculous amongst the panic buying that we've seen in recent weeks, doesn't it? Not with the box they're packed in. Good Lord. Now, the government has handed out billions of dollars during this coronavirus crisis, and this week that was also extended to environment and conservation jobs.
Yeah, so it's a promise of $4 billion stimulus aimed at providing 24,000 jobs Australia-wide to be spent on environment and rebuilding productivity after the drought and devastating bushfires on the eastern seaboard. And the stimulus is backed by over 80 farmer and environmental groups. So it'll go to weed and pest control, restoring rivers and those ecosystems. There'll be money for bushfire recovery and resilience. And Rich Gilmore, Country Director of Nature Conservancy, says the jobs will be created when the lockdown ends, which is when they can get to work.
Obviously, there are the immediate employment benefits, 24,000 jobs to be created across a range of sectors. That's going to be really important as we come out of, you know, the lockdown periods that we're currently in across the country. But there are all the really significant co-benefits as well. So, you know, bushfire recovery, the restoration of habitats across Australia, you know, improved agricultural health, all these benefits that you get from the large-scale investment in conservation, land management and restoration.
And I'm pretty sure they won't be the only ones heading out to try to get some work done, heading out for a haircut, among other things. Serena, thank you so much.
Thanks, Edwina.